Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. That is crossandthrone.com. You can go to our website and get all these programs for free. You can play them and download them, put it on your iPod, burn them to CD. Share them with your friends, your neighbors, outlaws, in-laws, and anyone you wish. And we hope that if you do so, that you will listen to them with an open Bible in search and see. Remember, one of our goals here is that we can convert some of you from Sunday Christians to Bible-believing Christians who love God's Word and seek to pass it on to others. That you stop trusting a local pastor to do all your work. Usually they're insufficient anyways, because it's not a calling, it's a job to most, unfortunately. Our web address again, crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. Our P.O. Box, I know some of you asked to help out with the ministry. You can either do it online at our website through a PayPal button, just click the donate button, or you can send us help at to Cross and Throne, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Again, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. We're going to be in your areas. We've had some in Indianapolis, people in Augusta, Huntsville, Alabama, and a few other places around the country who have asked us to come out. If you're interested in a meeting in those areas, please let us know. We'll be happy to come down and teach the Word of God to you and enjoy each other's faith, our mutual faith and encouragement. We are in Ephesians chapter 1. We left off and we talked about verse 7 yesterday, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Verse 8. Wherein, that is in this grace, He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now notice what it says here. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So what does that mean? He's abounded toward us this riches of His grace in all wisdom and prudence. Well, it tells you here in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. Now, I want you to notice this. God did not just redeem us so we can sit around and just look back at what He's done for us. He's also made known to us, in redeeming us, His future plans. Just like with Abraham, God revealed to Abraham, not only did God justify him, but He revealed to him His purposes concerning Sodom, concerning the future of this earth, and so on and so forth. God doesn't just redeem us, He takes us into confidence. He makes us His friends. Just like Abraham was the friend of God, you and I too. He's made known to us the mystery of His will. And how does He, notice it says in verse 8 again, He's done it in all wisdom and prudence. Now this is practical. Reread this word prudence in the King James Bible in the Old Testament regarding David. He was prudent in matters. In other words, the doctrine, the redemption that we have in Christ, and should lead us to being prudent in our matters. And we're going to see that detailed in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. In other words, those of us who have been redeemed and been let into God's purposes for heaven and earth in the future and in the present, it should be shown in our behavior and our walk. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 tells us, expounds on that, so we won't get into all the details now. But some people I was at a conference once and I was speaking on certain things regarding the Christian's growth, and one brother was so upset, he goes, "All I know is Jesus loves me." And this guy was a burly, tough guy, but he was really kind of effeminate the way he was talking. I mean, you could be 6'10", 400 pounds, and still be effeminate in the things of God. Because all you're doing is you're acting like a child almost. "Oh, I only know that Jesus loves me." But friends, the God who redeemed you through the blood of Christ is making known things to you. And it would be an insult to God if you were to say to Him, "Well, you know what, I don't really want to know all that stuff. I just want to know that I'm redeemed." If you're a Christian and you're acting like that, you're a child. And you're going to have great loss at the judgment seat of Christ. It is our goal. If you really love God, you're going to want to know more about Him than the things that just concern you. Think about a person who's only concerned about what they get and their benefit and their health and welfare. In the natural realm, that is sickening. There's nothing worse than a selfish man. The same is true in the spiritual realm. If all you're concerned about is, "Oh, God loves me and I'm saved, that's all I need," you're selfish. you're really not loving God because you're not wanting to enter into his purposes and knowledge of his ways. Well, it says here he's made known to us the mystery of his will. Now, this is a mystery. This is something that wasn't revealed in the past. This mystery of his will is according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, God had a secret concerning his will, and it was according to his good pleasure, and he purposed it in himself. It wasn't something he purposed in humanity. It was something he purposed in himself and in his Son. Now, what is this mystery? Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather in together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, notice this. His purpose was that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, we think of completeness when we think of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, some say, well, that's no mystery that Christ is going to rule over all. But in one sense, it is. Because when you read in the Old Testament scriptures, and the purpose that God had concerning Messiah was to reign over all the earth. And it's interesting, back in Genesis chapter 1, we read that God gave Adam, who was a type of him that was to come, a figure of him that was to come. Adam was a picture of Christ. God gave Adam dominion over the earth. And God has given Messiah dominion over the earth. All throughout the scriptures, we see his reign over the earth. But here in Ephesians 1:10, there's a new sphere added to it. In Ephesians 1:10, it says that he's going to gather all things together in Christ, both in which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Paul unfolds to us here in Ephesians the heavenly side of Christ's headship, both heaven and earth. This was revealed to Paul, and this is something that is, we can call it the added glories of the Son of God. It's interesting, if you start in Genesis and read all the way through the Bible, in the Old Testament, you see the glories of Christ expanded. You know, in Genesis 3, he's the seed of the woman, and in Exodus 12, he's the Passover lamb, and so on and so forth, and you see his glories expand. We learn more about God's purposes concerning his Son as you read through the whole Scriptures. And that's why we should be diligent Bible readers. Because the Bible really is the unfolding of the glories of Christ connected with God's eternal purpose for heaven and earth. So he made known to us redeemed ones, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, this phrase, the dispensation of the fullness of times, I think it's future, and I think it's referring to the millennium and the new heavens and new earth. It's plural, the fullness of times. But also, in one sense, it's true now. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 1, down through the chapter, referring Christ's exaltation. Now, in verse 20, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet. Now notice that. That's a quotation of Psalm 8. And that's referring to the first Adam. Adam had all things put under his feet, all oxen and sheep and cattle, etc. And he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, the man's dominion was over the earth. But here in Ephesians 1, Christ is exalted far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Not just sheep, oxen, and cattle, according to Genesis 1 and Psalm 8. But his exaltation is even higher. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Right now, Christ is head over all things to the church. But the world doesn't see it yet. We don't see it yet. In one sense, he is now head over all things of the church. But in Ephesians 1:10, we're going to see that when he is going to gather together in one all things in Christ, in heaven and earth, there's coming a time when the universal dominion of the Son of God will be displayed before creation. And we're going to see that in the millennium and then even fuller in the new heavens and new earth. And I think this is referring to the dispensation of the fullness of times. what will be, it'll be Christ who is dispensing law and order in that time to come. And you and I are going to have a position with Christ in the heavenly places. Notice in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Remember we talked about in verse 5 when Paul says we are predestinated, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We pointed out that adoption has to do with appointing the heir, the firstborn of the family. Well, you and I have that position as members of the body in the heavenly places. Just like Israel was the firstborn among all the nations and they're going to rule over the earth, you and I as members of the body have a position in the heavenly places as the firstborn. And our dominion will be not over the nations, but it seems here in Ephesians it's going to be over principalities and powers. So it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So God has showed us in Ephesians 1 that there's a new sphere of dominion for the Son of God. It's the heavenly places itself. Where he's exalted, and you and I have obtained an inheritance in Christ, in this sphere, and we are going to reign with him there, and we are predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Nothing is going to hinder this. His counsel will stand. He will do all his pleasure. Now, I want to turn you to Psalm 16 to show you this word inheritance. In Psalm 16, and we're going to close with this, Psalm 16, as we turn back there, and I'm turning my pages, forgive me here for taking a moment. David says this in Psalm 16:5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. You see the word portion and inheritance. And of my cup, thou maintainest my lot. What is an inheritance? It's a lot. They measured it out. And that was an inheritance divided up among the tribes of Israel and the individuals. Verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Those are measuring lines. Yeah, I have a goodly heritage. So what's an inheritance? It's something that's divided up by the lot. And you and I, friends, have an inheritance in Christ. Where is our inheritance? Well, it's not among the nations. And it's certainly not in the land of Palestine. Our lot is found in the heavenly places where Christ now sits. We have a goodly heritage, dear ones. Are you a believer in Christ? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins? Are you a member of his body? Then you can say, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, and we are predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Nothing can hinder this inheritance. We've been predestined to this position. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. If some of these things are hard to be understood, it's because they're not easy to understand. Ephesians is high truth. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said he couldn't make known these things to the Corinthians because they were too busy worshiping their leaders, and they had denominations. If you're a denominational Christian, you might understand Ephesians, and this is what it takes to understand Ephesians, faithfulness to the truth. Again, this is Dan Sheridan. Our web address, crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. If you want to keep this program running in your area, please considering helping with the cost of this program, for the radio cost. You can do that by going to our website and donating there. There's a donate button. And you can also send us some help at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. And this is Dan Sheridan. We will talk to you next time.